For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. We hope you can join us to celebrate Reformation Day 2021 on October 30th in Louisville, Kentucky. The Mid-America Reformed Baptist Association of Churches invites you to a one-day conference featuring Pastor Sam Waldron, Ron Miller, and Ben Carlson, who will be speaking on Solus Christus, or the doctrine of salvation by Christ alone. To learn how you can attend in person or via live stream, visit marbach.org/Christ alone.
You are listening to Particular Pilgrims, stories from Reformed Baptist history with commentary. I'm your host, Ron Miller, pastor of Covenant Baptist Church of Clarksville, Tennessee, and a longtime student and collector of Particular Baptist history. We're on the Man of God Network, brought to you by Covenant Baptist Theological Seminary. You shouldn't be surprised to hear that not every Particular Baptist continued as one. Some professors changed their minds in religiously significant ways and left to dedicate the rest of their lives to other religious groups, such as the Quakers. But a few others, like Henry Hills, displayed an almost constant inconstancy, apparently in order to pragmatically benefit from changing governments. Put positively, Hills was adaptable. But considered more objectively, Hills was a thorny ground hearer. So much so that even during his life he was called traitorous, disloyal, and a turnabout. So who was Henry Hills, and what can we learn from him? Hills was born about 1625 and died probably late in 1689. So his life roughly ran parallel to William Kiffin, who was his friend and pastor for a time. Hills seems to have been an early member of Kiffin's church, perhaps even by 1642. At this time, he was probably apprenticed to the printer, Matthew Symonds, who published the confession we call the First London Confession of Faith in 1644. Other dissenting and even radical publications also came from his hands. So when Hills went out on his own, he continued to print materials on the side of Parliament and the army. Then he even became the official printer of the Protector, Oliver Cromwell, and then his son Richard, and then the army again, as each of these people or groups led the nation. And so Hills became one of the most important printers in England during the period from 1640 until the restoration of the monarchy in 1660. He published a huge variety of things, including government publications and official announcements, as well as radical books and pamphlets by John Lilburn and the anti-Paedo-Baptist John Toombs. He was a printer of the Somerset Confession of 1656, which was written by the Particular Baptists of the West Country of England. He also printed the very important Humble Apology, which we discussed in a previous episode. It assured the new king of the Baptists' loyalty and their detestation of insurrection. Hills even signed this as a member of Kiffin's church, and numerous Baptist pastors had works printed by him. During this time, he married a woman named Dorothy, and together they had at least 5 children. He moved about London a bit, probably in part because of his growing business. He became a member of the powerful Stationers' Guild, which, by a special royal charter, controlled the publishing industry in England. They had the right not only to print books, but to stop others who unlawfully produced them or put out things contrary to the monarch's wishes. And it is clear that Hills, while printing voluminously, also tracked down and reported on illegal presses. Presumably this made him money as well as increased his influence. He was the official government printer from 1653 to 1660, and so was a very important man. But his spiritual life was not what it should have been. In 1650, only about a year after his marriage to Dorothy, he committed adultery and was living openly with the wife of another man, This, of course, was tremendously scandalous. The husband sued Henry in court and won £260 in damages. This was a large sum of money. Henry didn't have it, and so he was sent to the Fleet Prison. He was there for months until he wrote a pamphlet of repentance called The Prodigal Returned to His Father's House, which another stationer printed for him in 1651. The foreword to this work was written by his pastor, William Kiffin. As Dr. Larry Kreitzer has pointed out, Hill's adultery brought a sharp reaction from his church. So he used the story of the prodigal son of Luke 15 to claim repentance and a desire to rejoin the congregation. Kiffin's introduction was probably meant to show that he believed that Hills was properly repentant and should be received back into fellowship. Perhaps Kiffin even paid Hills's fine. Well, all of this seems to have been accomplished by 1652. He was received back into church fellowship, and he remained in fellowship for many years. But still, all was not well in his soul. He apparently allowed the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches to choke out the word in his life. Let me explain. In 1660, with the restoration of the monarchy, Hills was in trouble. Having been the official printer for Oliver Cromwell, as well as a personal friend, made it very difficult for him to be ignored by the government. For a short time, he was even in prison, and he published almost nothing for the next 10 years. By the mid-1660s, he had stopped attending worship. And when confronted, he refused to return and so was excommunicated from the Baptist Church in May of 1665. But in the 1670s, he began to regain prominence, so much so that by 1677, he was actually chosen as one of the king's printers. This allowed him to print not only official government publications, but also Bibles. His name is known on at least 46 editions of the King James Bible from this time. He also put out copies of the Book of Common Prayer and similar titles, the things that, of course, a particular Baptist would never have approved of or used. And all of this was made possible in part because he had left dissent and returned to the national church. His allegiance was so changed that during this time he even reported some of the dissenting ministers for rebellion against the king. But Hill's flexibility wasn't stretched to the limit yet. James II came to England's throne upon the death of Charles II in 1685, and within the year, Hills had converted to Catholicism to match the king. As Kreitzer again says, this conversion opened doors for Hills to receive an official appointment as a printer with the court of James II. This allowed him to print Catholic missals, breviaries, manuals, primers, catechisms, and lives of saints. But James's reign was short, and he fled the country in 1688. Many in the nation feared that he would bring England back under the thumb of the Pope, and there were demonstrations and even riots to announce this concern. A crowd said to number 1,000 gathered in front of Hills's home to protest his Catholic printing for the king. His Majesty then requested troops be sent to protect the printer and his property. But when James flew to France in December, Hills was forced to follow. On December 9, his family was granted a travel pass to go where they liked. On the 10th, he signed his last will and testament. On the 11th, they boarded a ship to France. And on the 12th of December, a mob attacked Hills' deserted home and business and destroyed it. Hills didn't live long in exile, though. Within about a year, he died. And there's a record of his will being probated in January of 1690. Now, in some ways, Hill's declension from the true religion was uncommon. In the religiously turbulent times of the 17th century, many Englishmen became intoxicated with personal freedom. They felt a tremendous pull to leave the formality and rigidity of the national church structure and worship, and to instead pursue the Spirit, or the inner light. And so many people who left the Church of England continued on that trajectory. What often began as leaving the Church of England to join an Orthodox dissenting or perhaps semi-separatist congregation sometimes continued with a move to general or particular Baptist life. But for some, it wasn't a correct doctrinal understanding that drew them, but an individualistic and inner light. And so they kept following that light, leaving the Baptists and other groups to become ranters, Quakers, or seekers. So for some, particular Baptist life was just a stepping stone to the real goal of inner spirituality. But Henry Hills moved in the opposite direction. Although presumably sprinkled in the Anglican Church as an infant, by his late teen years he was a particular Baptist. But leaving that, he returned to the National Church and then Catholicism. But there doesn't appear to be some religious principle driving this, while we can't know his motive for certain. His lifelong pattern was to become religiously what he needed to be in order to succeed in the stationer's world. And this did temporarily bring him success, stature, and wealth. But in the end, every indication is that these thorns choked out the Word of God in him, and so he perished. If you'd like to read more about Henry Hills, please look up Dr. Larry Kreitzer on the web. You'll find some very good materials describing some of his life and his work, especially with the King James Version of the Bible. Thank you for listening today. This is Ron the Baptist wishing you grace and peace.